to be able to reach into our community, into our homes, but please bear with us as we deal with technical difficulties. Grace and peace to you this day from God our Father and from the one who knows our name, Jesus the Christ. It's interesting to me to notice the people in the gospel stories who get names. Some people, like Mary and Joseph and Elizabeth and Zechariah, they're named because of their larger role in the story. You need their names in order to keep track of what's going on. Others, like Peter, who was once called Simon, carry in their names the very transformative power of Jesus' presence in their lives. Once you were Simon, but now you are Peter. Petra, the rock upon which the church will be built. Sometimes a name includes a description of the person's role. John the Baptist. Matthew the tax collector. Even the name of Jesus is structured in this way. Christ isn't Jesus' last name. It's his role. Jesus, the Christ, the anointed, the one promised to reign as king. Like my own name, Thompson, some names in the Bible include a family reference. Simon Bar-Jonah means Simon, son of Jonah, or Simon Johnson. Only my father's name isn't Tom, it's Paul. So I should probably be Scott Paulson? Or maybe in today's PC culture, Scott Marison. I don't know. Names often carry particular meaning. Peter, the rock, we've already mentioned. But also Lazarus, whose name means the one whom God helps. Isn't that wonderful? Lazarus, the one who Jesus restores to life, is named the one whom God helps. And Michael, as in Michael the archangel, the name Michael asks a question. The name means, who is like God? But sometimes the people in the story don't get names at all. Like the Syrophoenician woman, or the man who is brought to Jesus and lowered into the house through a hole in the roof. The woman caught in the act of adultery, and both of the men crucified on either side of Jesus. These people are as nameless as the many in our world with whom we'd really rather not associate. Earlier in the Gospel of Mark, Jesus encounters a blind man. In chapter 8, just prior to Jesus asking the disciples that famous question, "Who do you say that I am?" a blind man is brought to Jesus by some people. He's given no name, but Jesus heals him anyway. Perhaps this nameless individual is meant to represent all the people of the world who have trouble seeing. Not just physical blindness, but an inability or an unwillingness to see the truth of injustice, suffering, and hopelessness all around us. And in fact, there are only two people healed of blindness in the Gospel of Mark. This nameless one in chapter 8, and Bartimaeus, who is named in our gospel reading today. Not only Bartimaeus, not only is Bartimaeus given a name, but we're also told of his family, where he comes from. Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus. Only this is strange because we have no relation to either of these names. And perhaps that's the point. Like the woman caught in the act of adultery, namelessness can be a representation of shame and worthlessness. How many, even today, do we refer to simply as those people? In the earlier story of Jesus healing a blind man, the first one in chapter 8, we almost don't care that the poor man doesn't have a name. We're content to hear about Jesus putting some saliva on his eyes, and after a couple of other treatments, the man can see. The guy who receives this rare and amazing treatment is as insignificant as the hordes of sheep without a shepherd on the hillside waiting for Jesus to feed them. Perhaps Mark doesn't give us this guy's name because he wants to signal to us that Jesus isn't afraid to encounter the ones among us who bear shame and stigma and condemnation. If Jesus can heal this person, the gospel seems to declare, then Jesus can heal you even when you feel insignificant and forgotten. But Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, stands out in defiance of this trope. Bartimaeus, the blind beggar, gets a name, gets a healing. This time, not with saliva and not in multiple phases, not even with a magic word, but with a single thought in the mind of Jesus. And Bartimaeus gets one more thing in the story of his healing. Bartimaeus gets a place at Jesus' side as a follower on the way. When I was in grade school, I was the kid always picked last when we chose up teams for kickball or whatever. In junior high, I was the kid who didn't have a group of popular kids swarming my locker or clamoring to sit next to me on the school bus. In high school, I wasn't nominated to be homecoming king or asked to be class president. I don't try to put my name in lights. I don't seek out fame and honor in this world, and I'm actually amazed and quite a lot bit humbled when someone around town meets me and hears who I am and shares joyfully that they listen to me on the radio on Sunday mornings. Usually I don't think of myself as a big deal. In fact, I usually assume quite the opposite. That I'm just a nameless, rather insignificant spot on an endless globe of time and space. Still, I have no idea how alone Bartimaeus must have felt as he sat on the side of the road outside of Jericho, day after day, blind and begging for someone to toss him some food or some money. And it's true that Bartimaeus may have been one of those scammers, those freeloaders who scrawl on a piece of cardboard, "We'll work for food." Bartimaeus could have been faking being blind and may have bought alcohol and cigarettes with the coins that people gave him. But even in the darkness of lies and deceptions, such as those that may have been true but probably weren't, Bartimaeus remained alone, unloved, unseen, and nameless, just like those in our world of whom we assume the same lies and deceptions. But one other characteristic sets Bartimaeus apart. Bartimaeus knows something. He knows something about Jesus that few others in the story do. Bartimaeus knows who Jesus really is. A careful reading of the Gospel of Mark reveals that although we, the readers, know that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, from the very first words of the story, most in the story either can't or won't see this truth about Jesus. The demons know who Jesus is, as does Jesus himself. God tells him as much when he is baptized and the Spirit of God descends and settles upon him. And Peter knows it, sort of. He knows how to say the words, "You are the Messiah." But he gets the implication of that designation quite backward when he can't accept a Messiah who will suffer and die. Only two other people in Mark's gospel recognize Jesus for who he truly is. One is the centurion at the end of the story who witnesses Jesus' death and declares, "Truly, this man was God's son." And Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus calls out to Jesus, not once, but twice, "Have mercy on me." And while those might seem like simple words of a beggar, hoping to get some attention, in reality, however, the words "have mercy on me" belong to a formula reserved for only those in the presence of the highest of authorities. Criminals might beg mercy before a judge. Peasants, in the presence of their king, might ask for mercy. And in confession and abject humiliation before the God of all creation, we utter the only appropriate words in the presence of such awesome glory. "Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy." It's veiled to us who hear this story in English. But there's no doubt that when Bartimaeus uses these words to call out to Jesus, he is addressing Jesus as the one who alone can free him not only from his darkness, but from the grip of sin and death that holds each and every one of us captive. And when Jesus heals him, Jesus affirms that while he might walk away with newfound sight in his eyes, Bartimaeus already possesses the gift of faith. It is this faith that has made him well. This faith that allowed him to see, even with blind eyes, the very presence of God in the man Jesus. This faith that gave him the courage to trust that while the rest of the world might ignore and forget Bartimaeus, God has never abandoned him. God is with Bartimaeus in his darkness and in his solitude. God knows the name Bartimaeus. God knows who Bartimaeus is and where he comes from and where he sits on the side of the road day after day. God sees Bartimaeus, who cannot see those who pass him by, those who scoff and those who pity and those who look right past Bartimaeus as just another nameless blip. Bartimaeus gets a name. Not because he's important to the story, not because his name means something unique and telling about his character, and certainly not because he has an important role in the story. Bartimaeus gets a name because Bartimaeus is known by God. Bartimaeus is loved and claimed and forgiven and held in grace by God, just like God holds each and every one of us. God holds us in our joy, and God holds us in our darkest pain, in our blindness and in our deepest suffering. These two stories about blind people go together. When Jesus encounters the man in chapter 8, the one who he has to use saliva with and has to have two tries at it before the man can clearly see again, even we who know the truth about Jesus might wonder if God and Jesus really cares about those of us who seem so insignificant in the world. But now that we've seen the faith of Bartimaeus, now we clearly see that God will not ignore our cries for mercy. Now that we too have been told, take heart, give up, get up. The God of the universe knows your name and is calling for you. How can we not throw off our own cloaks of pain and darkness and run to Jesus? Let us, with Bartimaeus, beg of Jesus, let us see again. Let us walk with you. Let us encounter the cross with you. Let us see your glory. And let us share that glory with all the world.